R comes from the Pew Charitable Trusts, working to ensure a wilderness legacy for future generations at pewtrusts.org.
You're listening to Morning Edition on WCVE Public Radio, and we're joined now by Andy Foldenauer at RBC Wealth Management, sitting in today for Brian Ford with the weekly analysis of business and financial news. Hello, Andy.
Morning, Wayne.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Well, it was a volatile week for stocks last week. It ended on a positive note with that better-than-expected jobs report in most respects, although the unemployment rate did tick up a bit to 8.3. Were there any takeaways from the important U.S. and European central bank meetings?
Yeah, so much for the lazy days of summer. It was a volatile week, as you mentioned, but one where U.S. stocks actually finished higher. In fact, the U.S. stock market, as measured by major indices, is now at a three-month high, and is just under 10% away from its all-time high reached in 2007. Going into the week, investors were hoping that both the Federal Reserve and the European Central Bank, also known as the ECB, would offer new measures to stimulate the economy. Neither one changed its policies, but both indicated their respective economies are weakening and more action could be in the cards soon. The ECB president, Mario Draghi, made a bold proclamation a week ago saying the central bank would do whatever it takes to support the euro currency. This week he alluded to a debt repurchase plan, but his plan to stabilize the European debt markets is like many initiatives that other European leaders have unveiled during the past few years, long on vision but short on details. Doesn't necessarily mean that we should dismiss this plan. What we do know about it is that it would likely entail the ECB buying Spanish and Italian bonds to help drive yields lower, which would help those respective countries with their funding costs and debt issuance needs for the next few years. The strategy certainly wouldn't solve the Eurozone crisis because it is not solvable in one fell swoop, but we believe it does advance the ball.
Andy, it was a year ago yesterday that the United States lost its pristine AAA credit rating. Now, what type of impact has that created over the past year?
Yeah, if you looked at the pricing of the Treasury bond market, you wouldn't even know the credit rating has been downgraded. What a difference a year makes in perspective. But as a popular mutual fund manager says, the United States is the cleanest dirty shirt. In other words, despite our mounting debt situation, demand for treasuries has intensified because of a growing European debt crisis, slowing growth in emerging markets, especially in China, and also intervention from the Federal Reserve buying back bonds to keep rates even lower. When the U.S. credit rating was downgraded, the yield on a 10-year treasury was just over 2.6%. The current yield just reached all-time record lows and is currently at just over 1.5%. Just a reminder, as investors buy treasury bonds and drive up the price, the yields decline. Record low yields are important because it helps lower long-term borrowing costs for Americans and for businesses. Mortgage rates haven't been this cheap in decades, which is like a tax cut for credit-worthy households. It also has helped alleviate some of the costs to the U.S. government directly in maintaining a large debt burden. Right now, we have a market that is still being driven by fear because of Europe's debt crisis. And investors that are looking to preserve their capital still feel most comfortable in U.S. Treasury debt.
Mm-hmm. We hear so much about the national debt. How are individuals faring with managing their debt levels?
Yeah, the improvement in U.S. household debt has fallen under the radar. During the past few years, something called the U.S. household debt service ratio has dropped sharply and much faster than many economists thought possible. The ratio factors mortgage debt and consumer credit debt as a percentage of personal income. And because of record low interest rates, as we talked about earlier, and rapid extinguishment of bad mortgage debt, the debt service ratio has dipped well below the long-term average and is back down to levels not seen since 1994. A few other debt ratio charts paint a similar story of that since the financial crisis of 2008, Americans have done a good job so far of reducing credit card, auto loan, and mortgage debt. This is also referred to as deleveraging. But before we get too excited and assume American consumers are about to come roaring back and in a better financial position to fuel domestic and global growth, we need to realize that the debt spike that began in the early 1980s was highly abnormal, and that U.S. households have a ways to go in terms of overall deleveraging, which could keep consumer spending weak for some time.
Yeah. Well, let's see. We have about a minute to go. We're hearing so much about the fiscal cliff that apparently we're about to go over if something doesn't happen in Washington, and it doesn't appear it's going to in the near future. How do you view this inaction impacting the economy for the rest of the year?
Sure, yeah. In order to meet federal deficit targets established in 2011, current law dictates across-the-board tax hikes and spending cuts on discretionary programs at the beginning of 2013 unless Congress and the President agree to new legislation. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke coined the term fiscal cliff when describing to Congress what could happen to the economy if the automatic tax hikes and spending cuts occur. He believes, as do we, that the U.S. economy would fall into a recession or off the cliff. We don't think the fiscal cliff debate will reach full throttle in D.C. until November or December. Unfortunately, the uncertainty that it presents has already caused businesses of all sizes to constrain capital spending and delay hiring plans. All of this comes at a time when the U.S. economy is already quite vulnerable. The economy is growing at a slow pace, and jobs are being created, but not in a strong enough fashion. So there's really not much of a cliff to fall from. Bottom line is there's less room for Congress and the President to stall and engage in political brinksmanship later this year. The stakes are pretty obvious, and hope that most in Washington are willing to take that risk.
Okay, thanks, Andy.
Thank you, Wayne.
Andy Foldenauer sitting in today for Brian Ford from RBC with the business news analysis. It's 8:40.